Jim Vickers Willis, this is lovely to be talking with you on our program on Radio Eastern FM on 98.1 Community Radio. And Jim, please now, would you just take us down the pathway that led you into this wonderful revolution known as square dancing that happened here in Melbourne. You've already mentioned the polio. Now, that's a part of it which you must tell us about. But how did it all start? And if you can, too, a little bit about the secondment at 3DB. I'd love to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, it was... I think most people don't know how square dancing started. As far as I was concerned, it was... We were running barn dances. We were trying to build a kindergarten and church hall in East Brighton, and I was the fellow organising the barn dances, and we used to run fetes, and we used to run processions through Middle Brighton Shopping Centre with Father Christmas in the back. I was once a Father Christmas in the back, and that used to attract people to our fetes. And at this dance, just an ordinary barn dance over the road from our house in the Scout Hall, a chap named Bill McGrath, who was about the only caller in the business in those days, and he came down and called a little bit of square dancing for us. We were all quite impressed, and the next month we had another barn dance, and we didn't have Bill McGrath, of course. We couldn't get him again, and so I decided I'd walk across, and I learnt one square dance, and I put an old hat on and went across and said, I'm going to call a square dance over there. So Beth wouldn't even go over. She was so ashamed of me. Anyway, I went over and I called one square dance, the head two gents crossover, which is one I still call today.
Oh.
And it was really quite a good success.
Yes.
And that's where it started.
Right.
You know, I started to call square dances at home.
Yes.
And as I said in something I wrote recently,
yes,
we had a friend called Alf Allen.
Yes.
And he always used to... whenever he came to a party, he would bring at least half a dozen bottles of beer,
yeah,
in the boot of his car.
Yeah.
And he came to a little square dance gathering we had at our place. We used to play records by Joe Lewis. And if they were all very nice to me, they'd allow me to call one dance. I used to feel so embarrassed doing it. And then, anyway, Alf Allen, this night, when he was going home, he said, oh, I forgot to get my beer out of my boot. And he'd gone right through the night without any beer. And the next week, he didn't bring any. And we said, gee, if Alf Allen is put off his beer by the square dancing, it must be pretty good. And it really impressed Beth and I.
That's marvellous. Mm. That's marvellous. And you mentioned the name Joe Lewis there, spelled L-E-W-I-S. Just tell our listeners who Joe was.
Oh, he's a wonderful square dance caller, the best in the world. And we brought him over here at one stage later in the piece. And he called, and we all learned a great deal from him. We learned a great deal from McGrath, too. Bill McGrath was a terrific square dance caller. And in fact, early in the piece, it's funny how it got going, because, one of the first things that happened was we ran a square dance, the committee that was running, that was trying to build the kindergarten and church hall, decided to run a square dance, and I was to be the caller. By this time, I'd done a few little calls around, and I was getting a little bit better, but I was the rarest amateur. Anyway, we hired an army hall in Chapel Street, Paran. They hired it to us for 10 shillings for the night. We made a stage out of barrels and planks, and we put on a square dance, and we sold tickets in East Brighton, and the committee was so enthusiastic, they sold more than 500 tickets. And I was just an absolute amateur. And in fact, on this stage that we put up, every time I tapped my foot, the microphone bounced up and down. It was quite hard to call into it. Anyway, Bill McGrath came along to our dance. He was a very good sport. He said, no, he wasn't going to call. That was for me. And he danced all night. And we had searchlights for spotlights.
Oh.
And the Melbourne Sun, my newspaper, came along and took some pictures, and it attracted a lot of interest. That's how we got started. And then one day, I walked up the entrance to Leggett's ballroom. I don't know if you remember Leggett's.
Yes.
It had a tunnel sort of entrance.
Yes.
And knocked on the manager's door, and there was Phil Leggett, the owner. And I said, told him who I was and said, would you be interested in putting in some square dancing? Oh, he said, come in and have a cup of tea, Jim. And so I sat down. And so after we talked for a while, he said, well, if you call square dancing here, how much will you charge me? And I said, nothing. He said, nothing. I said, yes, I want half the profits. So a smile came over Phil's face. I could see him smiling. He was thinking, well, there won't be any profits in this anyway. So we shook hands. And he had Friday night free, and we put it in on Friday night. The first night we broke even, but Phil and his partner, Bruce Holsworth, and a nice couple of blokes, they were very satisfied with it. They said, oh, it was a very nice night. The people who came, very nice people, and it was good. But we only broke even. I think the second night we made £10.
Oh.
You have to realise that I was earning £27 a week.
Yes.
We'd had two children born,
yes,
with double hair lips and cleft palates.
Yes.
One had to have 12 operations, one had to have two. They were all fixed up marvellously, but it cost an awful lot of money.
Yes.
There was no Medibank in those days.
No.
Nothing. We had to pay first operation,
yes,
50 guineas for the doctor, £34.10 for the hospital. Yes. That was one operation. There had to be another one 3 months later.
Yes.
So we were in some difficulties.
Yes.
Just a young couple with, yes, a mortgage.
In the early 1950s, listeners.
Yeah, early 1950s, yes. And so when we made £10 each, and I was earning £27 a week, that was great. But the next week, we made £20 each, and the next week, about £40 each.
Oh.
And then, and Phil would sit behind the scenes, he took a delight in it. He'd say, one for you, Jim, one for me, one for you, one for me. I went home to Beth with £100, and I sat on the bed and said, one for you, Beth, one for me. And we were really over the moon because we really, really badly needed it.
Yes.
And, of course, the square dancing, we loved the square dancing. I got into it because I thought it was something very good, and I still do.
Yes.
It's still there.
Yes.
But it's interesting to know that the square dancing that's theirs now, which is marvellous that there's square dancing out in the suburbs, there's quite a lot of clubs, but they are little clubs, and then, in my opinion, they're not likely to ever attract the public like they did when we had it.
Well,
and there's a funny reason why.
Yes.
The reason is because I was such a mug. I mean, today, the square dance callers and dancers are pretty good dancers. You join in the square dance club, they're pretty good. They love to have a certain standard of dancing and so on. But that's not really what the general public is interested in. The general public likes to get in there and stamp their feet and clap their hands and kick it up, you know?
Exactly.
They don't like it to be too good.
No.
And I was such a mug that I wasn't able to make it complicated for them. I made it very easy because that's all I knew.
Oh,
and they, if they want square dancing ever to go again, as it was then, they've got to do that. They've got to make it simple.
Oh.
Very, very simple, so that people can just enjoy themselves, not become expert square dancers, just go out and enjoy themselves.
Jim, you are selling yourself very short here because Lox has told me that 85% of Melburnians were swept up by your enthusiasm for this wonderful new thing. Is that right, Lox?
This is about right. It was reported in the paper in 53 or 54 that 85% of Melbourne were square dancing at the time.
And you were a part of it too.
I was a part of it, of course.
You've got your badge here.
I've got my badge from Earl's Court here.
Mm-hmm. It was, yes, a great thing. Thanks, Lox. We'll come back to you in a moment. Enthusiasm and just a... You were just... It was a great credit to you, Jim Vickers-Willis.
Yes, well, it was something that we enjoyed. I was lucky too that my wife, Beth, is a very good dancer.
Yes.
She's as light as a feather. And she was a great lead. She was the number one lady in our square dance exhibition set.
Yes.
And a lot of other people followed her.
Yes.
you know, and yes. That was very helpful.
Yes, another inspiration in Beth.